Jeff Duke. Jeff Duke.
Well, I don't have to. What would you like to tell me, perhaps?
Well, I identify with the period being as him and I are the same age. Mm-hmm. And he raced Rouen.
Uh-huh. So you're hoping to meet the person?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And get an autograph?
Right, right.
And did you know that he was going to be appearing here today?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And how was that announced?
Well, he was at the grandstand, and he said that he would come here today.
Mm-hmm. And so are you surprised by the large number of people?
Well, there's a mixture for him, but more so for this young rider. What's his name? That made the world land record. That's about it.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, okay.
Carl Fogarty and Jeff Duke are just signing autographs and helmets and jackets. Mm-hmm.
And is this a regular feature of TT Festival, having riders sign things at Duke Video Shop?
It will be, yes.
These are the first ones, are they?
Well, the shop only opened this year, so yes, but it will be, we hope.
I don't know.
Are you selling lots of videos?
A fair amount, yes. Yeah, so.
But how many would you expect to offload during the 2 weeks? Thousands? Hundreds?
Yes, thousands. Yeah.
And what sort of prices do they retail for?
From $6.99 through to $19.99, depending on the tape.
And what's your most popular video?
Here it's the Alaman TT, the 1995 Alaman TT, which will be available in about 2 weeks after the event.
That's quite a quick turnaround. Do you have a large team working on its production?
Yeah, we have eight cameras and six onboard cameras. So, yes.
Okay, thanks very much.
Who's that for?
Right, my name is Rod Organ. I come from Hythe, which is near Southampton, on the edge of the New Forest, about 3 miles from Bewley.
So what are you doing at the TT this year?
It's a bit of a working holiday, because my work is painting racing motorcycles in oils and limited edition prints I also produce. I'm over here obviously because of the TT fortnight to promote my work. Get ideas for new pictures, take photographs for new pictures, and just generally here enjoy myself as well.
So how do you work? Do you just take photos and take them back, or do you actually work at the TT as well?
No, I don't do any work while I'm here. What I'll do is I'll take as many photographs as I can for reference, and then when I get back home, then I'll file them all, and then when I'm getting around to a picture where I can use those reference photographs, then I'll dig them out and use them then.
So what type of stuff do you do, purely the races, or do you do the social side of it as well?
I paint all sides of motorcycling, but I'm known and I specialise, I suppose, even more than specialising in just motorcycles, in racing. Yeah. And 50% at least of what I do is TT pictures, because it provides such an interesting scenic background, which is totally different from any other racetrack in the world.
What is different about the TT?
Well, obviously because you're running on a public road, and also because it's such a beautiful island, you can actually have backgrounds that are stunning scenery with a racing motorcycle in the middle of it.
So do you find that 50% of your work is on the TT purely because you enjoy it, or because it's more popular commercially as well?
A bit of both. I enjoy it as an artist because it gives me a lot more challenge, because it creates a better picture, a much more scenic picture. And it's better for the person that's buying it. I mean, I sell to people that have never been to the TT purely because it's such a nice picture. It's a mixture of landscape and motorcycle racing as well. So it's a bit of both.
So how have you been promoting your work while you've been over on the island? Where do you go? Who do you see?
I've got my van around, which has got my name all over it. And luckily, 6 weeks ago, Motorcycle News did a big four-page article on my work, because this year is 25 years since I started doing it. So it's a bit of an anniversary. And so a lot of people would have seen that article. So I'm just around, and I'm going to the big bike meetings, the big club meetings, like the Ducati Owners Club meetings, the Italian Bike Club Owners meetings. I should have been at the Honda one today, but a game of golf got in the way. Yes, just generally showing yourself around and speaking to people and bumping into to customers and friends and hopefully making a few new customers.
So what do you find are your most popular paintings?
By far the most popular picture will be of Mike Hayward on a Honda 6, probably in about 1967. I could almost paint that in my sleep, I've done it so many times. Mm. It's such a classic machine which had an unusual sound that everybody remembers that ever heard it. Yeah. And it's just got some charisma about it, the rider, the TT, and the machine, everything went together to make that charisma, and everybody remembers it. Yeah. So that's incredibly popular.
Do you find you get commissions as well? Are you commissioned, or do you do it off your own bat and then see how it goes?
Most of the work I do is commissioned. And then I will look at the work when it's finished, and I will decide whether that is a suitable picture to bring out as a print. Being a one-man business, it's very expensive to do that, so I can only bring out 3 or 4 a year. So I have to be careful what I do and which ones I bring out. But I will also paint pictures straight, knowing I'm going to bring it out as a print, and then after I've done that, then hopefully somebody will come along and buy the original afterwards. Yeah. But it's much better for me, obviously, if I can sell the original first, because that puts money in the bank. Yeah.
So what else have you been doing since you've been over, when you're not kind of looking around for photos and paintings?
Just walking along the prom and being a motorcyclist, which is what I am as well.
Oh, you're a biker as well.
So I've got a 900 Triumph, which is only 2 or 3 years old, and I enjoy going for a ride as much as any of the bikers that are here do. Mm. And it's just unfortunate, because I've had to bring prints and publicity material here in the van, I couldn't come over on the bike, which I feel sort of a bit left out, sort of being a motorcyclist without a motorcycle. But yes, I'm going down the prom like everybody else, looking at everybody's machines and admiring them. Yeah. And as I say, today, having a game of golf, just having a bit of a holiday as well.
So you go to other biking festivals?
I go to race meetings. I go to some abroad. Most of the big UK meetings I'll get to. But usually, just during the week, I'm at home painting.
So how does the TT, do you think, compare to the other races, the other meetings and festivals that you've been to? What are the differences from points of view of work and from points of view of pleasure?
Well, to start with, the TT is a festival, so it's on for a fortnight. So you've got plenty of time to look around for backgrounds that you haven't used before, that you think people will like and will make a good picture. I mean, at a Grand Prix, for instance, or a World Superbike meeting, you're very much restricted. It's a day meeting, usually. So your opportunities are very much more limited, and also your choice of backgrounds are a lot more limited, because the circuit's so much shorter. Here I've got 38 miles nearly to choose from of bends. Yeah. At a Grand Prix circuit I've got 3.5 miles maximum, so I've probably got no more than 12 bends to choose from.
Do you have any favourite vantage points to watch the race from at the TT?
One of my favourite spots, although it's a bit inaccessible, is Tower Bend. Like, they're just up from Waterworks, because it's very quick through there, and it's quite scenic around that area. And I also like Kebble Gate, because again it's got a series of lefts and rights, and you can see the rides coming, and again you can choose left or right, and that again makes a good background.
Do you find you meet many new people at the TT? Do you find it quite social and friendly?
Very very social. You can't help that, especially if you're outside Bushies on a Sunday night on Mad Sunday. It's about as social as you'll get, and you'll just meet lots of people. And some people will come up, will see the van, and just sort of say, I've got one of your prints, or I've got one of your paintings, but I've never met you, and that's nice. Yeah. That really is lovely. Yeah.
So how much material do you get from the fortnight, and how long does it take you to work through when you get back? How much work is there involved?
I'll usually take about 10, 12 rolls of film while I'm here, so if there's 36 rolls, pictures on a roll, that's a fair number of pictures. As I said, I'm not just taking racing pictures. I'll often come around the circuit about once every 4 years. I'll just go around and say photograph the circuit, just the bends, with no riders, nothing like that on it. So I've got the background shots, because you'd be surprised how much the circuit changes year in, year out. Lines are painted on the road that weren't there a year before, so you've got to keep up to date with all that. I can't use the photographs that I did 25 years ago and put present-day bikes on them, because that wouldn't be correct, because the circuit's changed. You know, roads have been widened, corners altered, lines have been painted, trees have grown. all sorts of variations, so you have to keep on top of that all the time.
Have you noticed any other changes, not just to the road and from a point of view of work, but generally to the festival in the 20 years that you've been coming here?
No, it's just as much good fun as ever it was. It's a shame it's not got its championship status, and I suppose it's a shame that there aren't quite the big stars that there used to be, but as a race meeting, as a festival, it's still fantastic.
So you'll be back next year?
Yes, definitely. Definitely next year. And the year after.
Thank you.
Okay. When I started painting, this was just after I left the army. I mean, I'd always been a good artist, I suppose. I'd always known how to create a good picture. And so when I left the army in 70, I started doing racing motorcycles then. But at that time, I was the only one doing motorbikes. Everybody thought I was slightly weird. And there were about three people painting cars and Grand Prix. Since then, in the 25 years since then, I think there's now over 50 car artists, of which probably 25 to 30 are professional full-time. And I'm one of only about two professional full-time motorcycle artists. There's still only about five motorcycle artists, either full-time or part-time. So I've been going longer than anybody. The market's a lot smaller in motorcycles than in car racing, and also the people in car racing have got a lot more money than motorcyclists. Motorcyclists know when they're going to be ripped off and they won't have anything of it. Yeah. Car people will spend more money. For instance, the equivalent quality of, say, one of my originals, the 2436, which will be a couple of £1,000, we're talking about this year, 1995. If that was of a car picture by one of the car artists of equal standing to myself, in their world, it would probably be 5,000. That's the difference, because car people will pay that. Yeah. It's not because my work is any less quality, it's purely because I chose that subject, which is unfortunate for me in a way.
But you do it because you love it.
I do it because I love it, yes, exactly.
Do you think your style's changed over the last 20 years?
Yes, it has a little. It's tightened up in some respect. It was a lot looser when I first started. I was a lot quicker then, and now I'm slower but more precise. And I've got to be careful I don't get too precise, otherwise you get too photographic. Yeah. So it's got to still look like a painting, but at the same time, again, the customers I have and what I like myself, I like it to be an accurate representation of what I'm painting. So, and also it's got to be historically as well as artistically correct. It's very important for me that there's a lot of people that will do paintings and they make mistakes. So I do a lot of research to make sure as accurately as I can I get everything right, which means checking to see what banners were behind the rider in a particular year. I don't just slap anything in there, which I've seen. It's a record for all time, you know, of that particular race, so I like to get it right.
Do you think oil lends itself particularly well to the kind of paintings you do, or is it just because you choose to work in it?
Well, I've painted in oil since I was 8 years old, so that makes it 40 years I've been painting in it. So, but I think it does. I think it helps. I think it gives a vibrancy to the picture. Mm-hmm. It's a much deeper colour, just generally more vibrant colour. Watercolours can't quite match that. Some artists in watercolours make a good stab at it. They're pretty good at it, and gouache is not too bad. But I still think oils are the best.
Would you customise your own bikes? Do you do artwork like that?
If you're talking about like airbrush work on my own machine, no, I wouldn't do that. But if you're going to say, was I going to change a part of the bike to make it a better machine? Yes, I'd certainly do that. But that's just changing mechanical parts. But actually painting the machine itself, no, that's not. I'm not into that. I'll leave that to other people. Some people that do it are very good, but no, that's not for me.
Thank you again.
Okay.
here, I can see the buses, which is most interesting because I'm really into buses.
Two staff, a very quiet period, and you've got to build it up to about 10, 15 to come on different shifts. That's really important, and it's very, very hard to get people to just come in for 2 weeks. So we mainly use the school children, the local children. They all work lots of very long hours. And food preparation as well, you've got to work all that out so you can, you know, get a nice little profit margin out of it as well to keep you going for the rest of the season. And you've got to juggle about a little bit with different things, you know, to be and try and get things reasonable and in lots of ways. Can you turn it off? While the baby's crying.
Oh, it doesn't matter. So what kind of promotion do you do?
That we don't really need to advertise TT Week, not too much. Only make the only people that you have to see is like the tourist board and tourist information so that they know where to send people and what hours you're open in the morning, like 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock used to be open in the morning. You could trade all night if you really wanted to, because there's plenty of people around to trade all night. But I find that after 12, 1 o'clock, you usually get the really silly drunks in that throw all your table condiments all over the place. So it's best to keep within the hours that people really need you. Most people, TT Week, because there's races on at 4 o'clock, you know, practice is on at 4. You need to be able to trade from 5 o'clock in the morning, people getting off the bus, and for the people coming back from the practices. So we find it's more important to trade from 4 till 1 o'clock in the morning, because they're people that really need refreshments. After that, it's usually people that are really drunk. They're just going somewhere to sit and play about. So we tend to just trade the important hours. You know, that's how I see it. And try and provide them with not just chips. We always put a dinner on because most of them are fed up with chips constantly. So what we tend to do is we do dinners with potatoes, not just chips. I know it's easier for people to do chips, but we find it's just as easy to throw a pan of potatoes on so they can have a steak and kidney pie or a shepherd's pie, so they're getting a dinner. They're here for nearly, some of them are here for 10 days, and to eat chips constantly in different cabins, it must be sort of, they must think, oh, I'm sick of chips. So that's how we do it. We try and put them a dinner on, a breakfast cheap enough so that the ones that haven't got a lot of money, £3 is reasonable. If you've got people that have got the money and they want the extras, we actually put the extra on. It's an advantage to us and an advantage to them. I try and work it both ways so that they're happy and I'm happy. They can afford £3 and we give them egg, bacon, sausage, beans, tea and bread and butter. We don't give them a little tiny cup, give them a mug of tea. You know, and we find that you do make more by being sort of try and level it out, give them, and you give and take. That's how
I change your menus.
Definitely. You have to suit the people. And cakes, we do a lot of cream cakes, Danish pastries. And I always put a vegetarian meal on because there's always vegetarians, you know. And if we do the breakfast, we always give a vegetarian breakfast, which is like mushrooms, you know, no meat at all, mushrooms, grilled tomatoes, anything, hash browns, it's a potato thing, you know, toast and tea and bread and butter. And the foreigners as well. We trade for them as well because they like curries and lasagnas and they like spaghetti bolognese because they're more spicy. A lot of the Germans and French and Swiss, and they like more spicy food, so we try and cater for them, you know.
What about the signs that you showed us yesterday?
Well, what we do is usually one of the kids help us with the signs because they're all doing German and French at school. So the local children usually, you know, the girls that we get in, they always help me do the signs for TT, you know, so that the Germans and the French can understand where to get a breakfast and what's actually on the breakfast, you know.
So what do you put on the signs, just who you are and where you are?
We just, on the signs, we just put, for that, so them signs that we gave to you, they're just the full breakfast for them, because that's what they're looking for, really, something to eat. And sometimes they can see breakfast, but they don't know what's actually in the breakfast. So we thought, well, if we put sausages and bacon and everything in their language, then they'd understand, instead of them standing there for half an hour wondering whether it would be what they wanted, you know, and that's all. And we just put about a friendly service, you know, when they come in, and if they want, there's usually one or two of the girls that actually speak German and French always every year, just to make sure we can communicate with them, because it's confusing TT Week. And that's it, really.
So how long have you been doing Singing Kettle?
9 years we've been here. We've done 9 TTs, but previous to that I worked for the gentleman that owned this building, and I worked for him for 4 years, so I've done about 15 TTs, plus I worked in the hotels for 7 years doing TT Week, so I've lots of experience. I actually, I really know how to prepare for them.
So what changes, what's changed over the last 9 years, like things that you do to prepare, have you had to change a lot, or is it, you know?
The things that, the only thing that's changed over the last year, the last few years, years ago when I first started in this, in the cafe, they used to come just from TT week till from the Thursday of TT week, just for 1 full week. So practice week you wouldn't be busy, but now you're busy from the bank holiday practice week because people have spread out. They come from Wednesday to Wednesday of the following week, or Monday to Monday. So that you've got a full 2 weeks, so you can take advantage of it. It was too much a few years ago when they all just came the 1 week. All you'd have was constant queues. You couldn't give them the service properly either, you know, because it just get, it got beyond you. But now, because of the way the ships have changed and times have changed, it's worked out that it's staggered over 2 weeks, which helps us. And you I think you make a lot more money that way. Plus, even all the ships, the boats used to go back empty all the time. Now they're coming backwards and forwards because people are coming from Monday to Monday, Wednesday to Wednesday, Tuesday, you know, that way. And it's staggered out. It's really 3 weeks is TT week. If you, or should I say 6 weeks, prepare-wise, you know, getting to the final, you know, the final finale, and then even after, right up till yesterday, that's finished now, right up till yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's usually about 6 weeks, I would say, you know.
So do you miss it when it finishes?
I'm glad when they've gone. No, I'm glad because you need a rest because you're really shattered. But it can be very, very enjoyable as well. You can really enjoy yourself with the customers. They're really lovely people.
Yeah.
I don't know why these set of boys, you get groups of footballers and all these posh ones, hockey weekend, but they're never as nice as TT week. And a lot of them are professional people, you know, office people. They just change into the leathers and TT week. They've got really good jobs across car salesmen. Every walk of life actually comes TT week. It's not just... People used to think it was Hell's Angels. I've never really seen many Hell's Angels, have you? The mainly, a lot of them are professional people and real proper bike enthusiasts, really, aren't they?
Do you find that the same people come back year after
year? Yeah, every year. We know lots of, most of them that come in here, we know, they come here every year.
Yeah.
And we're moving soon. I'm doing a little tea room up on the quay, just by the quays. Now, they've all been in. I've had to tell them because they want to know where I am. So I've been near the Honda garage where they all work down there by the quay, and Mick Bodice is that does the sidecar racing next door. They want to know where I am, so they'll all be down in September. So, they
so
all
is this the last year that the singing kettle?
Yeah,
I'll
be here. Yeah, because
TT.
It's all coming down. It's this block now. It is sad because there's nowhere around here. This was a main point for everybody to meet. You see, I'll meet at the singing. You know, the bikers knew where it was. You know, so it's having to come down because it's all part of the development around here.
Yeah.
Which is not bad.
Piano around here now,
though, will it? Well, somebody will do something, obviously. I think they will anyway. Somebody will do something. And they've got the sea terminal as well. Mm. Yeah, the sea terminal.
Did you find it helpful being near the sea terminal? Did you find when the boat came in that lots of customers flocked?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Because I'm here, that's why they come in, I suppose. It's near, and the food's not bad either.
Most the boats were cancelled, they'd come here, wouldn't they?
Yeah, if the boats are cancelled, the steam packet ring us up, and we always accommodate them then. They have to, you know.
Weren't any cancellations?
There wasn't, no. Normally, every year that I've been here, there's been one of the boats that have cancelled, but the service has been really good with the Sea Cat. I think the Sea Cat's improved the services, being able to shuffle people backwards and forwards, you know. So normally, every year, there's always been a boat breakdown or some, you know, because we've had to take so much backwards and forwards. But this was the first year we've never had cancellation, and everybody, the steam packet ring up, can you take so many, 100 meals now? Because we've got all these passengers waiting in the sea terminal, you know. So we've had to feed them, haven't we, sometimes? And what I've actually done is run other restaurants up and ask them to take the overflows as well, like Griddles and everywhere else, and they've actually taken the overflow. Last year I did, didn't I? Yeah. And that's it, really.
So do you get a chance to go out during TT fortnight?
Never, ever, never. If you want to run your business properly, you've got to be there constantly. Constantly. You know, TT week, But I used to go out years ago, I suppose, on the bikes, have a ride around the course, you know, because when I worked in the hotels, all the boys would come and they'd take you around on the different bikes around the TT course. So I've done all that, you know, and it was really enjoyable, that. I don't think I'd go around now, I'm too frightened. You know, when you're younger, you're more daredevil. Yeah. You think, oh, yeah, definitely a motorbike, but not now.
Do you think it's got busier?
It's, no, it's not as busy as it used to be, like I say. It may be busier spread over 2 weeks.
Over
we may get
time.
The same amount, but spread over 2 to 3 weeks, because a lot do come the week before practice as well. And I'll tell you what has got busier, the Manx Grand Prix. I used to find that really quiet, but I think that's got busier.
Mm.
Yeah, we never used to be as busy. You'd see a few around for 2 days, but I think that's got busier, the Grand Prix in September. That's quite busy. But the TT race is spread out over. I can't say it's not busy, unless it's spread all over the island. Because all my recollection is that bikes used to be parked right the way up Prospect Hill and Bucks Road. There'd be bikes everywhere up there. Now, can you remember seeing any this year? I can't remember. Well, that is how my recollection of it was. It used to be right up the promenade. Whether they're more spread out of Douglas, because there's not as many hotels in Douglas, I really don't know. But all the boarding houses, yeah, a lot of them stay in the homes, a lot of them stay in Ramsey. And is it Port St Mary where they've got them nice hotels? There's a group, a consortium, he has like about 5 or 6 hotels. Whether they stay out there, I don't know, but I don't find it as busy in Douglas as it used to be years ago.
Mm.
Simply because all the hotels were open and all the bikes were there, but
yeah.
Times have changed and you have to cater to people's taste. There's not a need for all them hotels anymore,
no.
Is there? There's only a need for a selection because, I mean, people want to go where it's hot.
Yeah.
I don't care where. So I don't think a lot of it's to do with the boat price. I think it's mainly to do with
the
people's changing. I mean, I would go abroad for a break. You know, if I were going across to England, it'd only be for 2 days shopping. That's a cold, short holiday that you take.
Mm.
And that's the same as the Isle of Man. It's a cold, short place to take. It's lovely when the sun's shining. It's beautiful. It's nowhere nicer, but it's just not got the weather. And people want to go where it's hot. So I don't blame the boats at all about the price. I really do. I think it's mainly the weather and the people's tastes have changed,
yeah.
You know, that's all.
Have you noticed any changes to the TT, like to the festival side, which thing that's growing?
Well, I think that street party's good, the Mad Sunday street party, I think that's very, very good. But I think they should put a little bit more entertainment on there.
Stuff to do.
Yeah, there's not enough for them to do on that Mad Sunday. They're bringing, you're talking about not just bikers, you're talking about the whole of the Isle of Man, bringing the children and everybody into town. There should have been some sort of fair on there, you know, a little thing and, you know, coconut things to throw the, you know, like a proper, you know,
yeah.
And really make it into a proper, instead of it mainly focusing on drink. You know, it were mainly focused on drink, that party, instead of focused, because the whole of the island came into, nearly the whole of the island came into Douglas that day for the street party, but they really should have seen a bit more entertainment. Like, even young groups from schools doing juggling acts, you know, any of the jesters, a little play, you know, like they do in the cities, in the shopping centres, little plays going on. That's what I would have called a street party. TT week or not, these people are cultured. They're not uncultured people. They don't just want beer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, like I say, that are professional people that want a little bit more than that. Even part of the museum, maybe take part in some, you know, having a little stand with the history of the motorbikes, you know, telling people with a little microphone. And I bet you'd have had crowds round a little, some sort of stand, but that's how I see that TT, which should have been that party day,
true.
Should have been more of a big family thing because all the children was down and God, I couldn't believe it, the whole of the Isle of Man joining because they very, very rarely see it as many people on the island like they used to do. And I think it should have been a real treat for them, don't you? A real treat for them on that party day. But that's all really, that's all I've got to say.
Would you collect any souvenirs? Do you keep anything even from the cafe or when you go around?
Sometimes we'll have stickers and things and badges, but I tend to keep them and then, because the bikers that come over are so enthusiastic, I usually give them to them the following year and they're really grateful for them. Like if we find anything of left photos, I think that they'd appreciate them more than I would, you know, so I tend to give them actually to the people that we know, say now, do you want to say if they've forgotten anything or they haven't got a badge for that year? You know, I used to have badges and things like that, but I tend to give them away to the actual baggers because they appreciate them more. And I can always get them again, they can't because they don't live here, you know. So anything that I find, I usually, or we buy, we just give away at the end of TT week, you know. And thanking them for the custom because, you know, we give them a free cup of tea. And, you know, if they've been coming in all week and they've not much money left and I say, well, I've only got £1, well, I'll just give them a tea and a sandwich or something, don't. We give them sandwiches this year, some of the lads that had run out of money. That's what I do anyway, because they've spent all the money all week here. They've never been out of the place. So we tend to do that, you know.
That's an interesting approach, because a lot of traders look on TT fortnight as their most profitable time of the year.
Yeah.
And almost that they could close down for the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, I find that, well, because they've given me something and they come every year, I feel as if I can't be all that greedy. We make a lot of money over TT Week. It really, really helps me. It really, really does. Without it, this place won't be here. I'll be honest with you. We've only survived through TT Week, paying all the bills and the rent, and then just going out doing outside catering through the rest of the year. But I'm grateful. I've usually made my money by the end. And if there's anything in that fridge that's going to be there another day, I may as well give it to them, not throw it in the bin. They're going to come back to me the following year, and they never fail to come back. They come in every year, the same people, and Grand Prix week as well. So I'd rather give, and you'll make more money out of that over the years than taking, you know. Can I just see this?
That's flashing.
Seen so many motorbikes in my life. I was really shocked because I'd heard vague stories about it, but I didn't realise the atmosphere it created and the amount of people that come out, because the atmosphere is absolutely electric. It is, and everybody's just got this lovely way about them, you know. And I was really shocked. I thought, oh my God. I thought when they said it's TT Week, there'd be a few more. I just never imagined there'd be thousands. And if you ever stand on Douglas Head and just see them bikes coming off of that boat, it's absolutely breathtaking. All the bikes coming off at night, it's absolutely fabulous. It's really lovely. And I can imagine it must be lovely to see them coming up the motorways towards Liverpool and Heysham, can you?
Yeah.
We never see that really, do we? But I can imagine them all coming up in packs.
Yeah.
You know, and the excitement they must be building up inside of them, knowing they're coming to people that have all got the same interests. I could, personally myself, I don't think anybody's ever taken that side of it, the other side of it. How they actually all get together, yeah, it must be lovely, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it.
So what had you heard about the TT before you saw it?
Well, I was very young, and I used to, this was in Yorkshire, and I used to go to this youth club, and some of the boys were mods, as they call them, some of them were rockers. I was just a little girl serving on the pops, and I used to serve Pop and Chris in this small youth club, and all these boys, the boys on the motorbikes, you say, oh, they were always, one day they were going to go to the TT races in the Isle of Man. And I used to watch these old George Formby films on a Sunday afternoon. That's my first recollection, George Formby. And that's how I remember the TT, I suppose. Otherwise, I didn't really know much about the Isle of Man, only the TT races, you know. And my granddad as well, obviously, because, I mean, they knew all about it, you know, from years ago.
Right,
that's my mother's side. I think as a boy, he used to come over with his parents for the TT, because, I mean, there were a lot more enthusiasts. There were quite a lot of enthusiasts years ago. You wouldn't have believed that, but a lot of people couldn't afford cars, so I imagined that bikes and any two-wheeler things were things that they used, like bikes or motorbikes,
yeah,
with a motor in, were probably... It probably became an enthusiast thing because of that. You know, these older people probably had two-wheeler bikes and then got a bike with an engine in because they couldn't afford these posh cars. And that's probably where a lot of it stems from when you think about it. You know, and it's become, then as cars came in, you got people generally going to cars, and then the ones stayed with the bikes then. And the thing I was surprised at about the TT was that the elderly people that had really come back, they've been coming for like 70, 80 years. I know one gentleman, Jimmy, he's a Scottish man, and he's got a motorbike museum in Scotland. He comes to the Edinburgh Hotel every year, and he even races in the vintage bike race? He even rides in that usually at the end. And he's been coming for, since he was a small boy, and he's about 80 something now, about 80 years he's been coming.
Are you interested
every year.
In bikes yourself?
I like BMWs, and I like, but they're really a sensible bike, a BMW, aren't they? You know, they're a nice bike. Yes, I do. I think they're beautiful. But I would never buy one myself. Honda 50's my limit.
Do you think you have to be a biker to enjoy it?
No, definitely not. It's something else. I tell people that. I was away at college for a while in England, and I used to tell all my friends. I said, I've never been a leather-glad person, but TT Week is really for anybody that wants to see something spectacular, because it is. And the nice thing about it is it's not planned fun. It's fun that people are actually, it's entertainment that's actually made by being enthusiastic about a machine and the actual racing and the racers, to have that courage to go around 120 mile an hour. It's just, there must be just something else, these people, don't you think? To have that courage, it's unbelievable.
Did you ever used to watch the races before you got busy in the city?
Yeah, years ago, but I was quite bored by it, waiting for them to come round.
Where did you used to watch from?
Usually from the grandstand. I used to go up to the grandstand. Yeah, that was the nearest. I never used to go out onto the course, just mainly from the grandstand. Because there's more excitement there. That's where all the gathering is, you know, and the talking and everybody. You know where they are around the course. That mainly the grandstand, because there was a lot going on then, you know.
Do you listen to radio TT?
Yeah, I think that is really good radio listening. I don't know why, but the rest of the year I'm quite bored with Manx Radio. But the radio TT is brilliant. I don't know what they do with it, TT, but it's really, really good. Everybody says that. I heard a lot of comments about, isn't it funny how Radio TT is a really good, you know, it's really good broadcasting TT Week. It really is. Very, very professional.
On in the cafes.
Yeah, so that people know the time. And usually we have a TV with the video. And, you know, the races, usually Joey Dunlop's old tape, because that's the only ones we've got left. But he comes in here as well, does Joey. And a few other riders
really?
Come in, yeah, Joey Dunlop does. He comes in here quite a lot, and he comes over in September as well sometimes. He brings all the children, and they all come in. And his team people come down for sandwiches to take out and everything, you know.
Do you regard the TT riders themselves as hero figures?
I regard them as it's, you know, like you take it, you like doing something like a profession. That's what I think, that is a profession to them. And everybody's got different strengths, and that's what they love doing, and they do it. That's how I regard them, really. And I think they're very, very brave, because they must have something special inside them, of them, or some sort of something that makes them want to ride them races, because I'd be frightened to death. You know, the speed that they've got, and any average person, man or anybody, would be, I mean, it's all right watching, but to be actually in it, I think they've got to have something different. It's got to be that special something. I don't think the heroes or anything. I just think that in all walks of life, there's a special something that drives some people to do things, and that's how I see it anyway.
What are the riders like when you meet them in the street and they're not racing?
They're just like you and me. They're just very modest, and that's what I'm saying. They just come here to get on and to do what they want to do. They want to win a race, to, you know, for themselves, to prove something to themselves, that they're good at what they do. That's it, really. But they're all very modest.
So who's your favourite rider?
I think Joey Dunlop is, because I think he keeps coming back. And anybody that can come to the Isle of Man and race on that track is really proving that they can ride a bike. If they don't come and do it on the TT course, then they're not proving that they can actually ride a bike home safely. Because it's very, very, it's dangerous and very, very scary. That I think they can really ride a bike, and I think he can. Same as Mike Hillwood, he was another one as well. He could ride a bike, that's all I can say. And that's when you really go into the tip. It's like going to the Olympics. Well, I think the Isle of Man's like the Olympics, to be able to go around that course. It's unbelievable, don't you think so?
As a resident of the Isle of Man, do you feel you have to support the local riders?
Well, it depends. If they're there and they're going to put themselves in it, yes, of course, you listen to see if they're doing okay, definitely, you know. I think you should do, really, don't you? The only thing about it is they know every inch of the road, and for somebody to come across and not know the road, I know Joey Dunlop does now, but he still doesn't live here, does he? And most of them ride back over the mountain to go to Ramsey. I mean, we do, I do, don't you? So you sort of know every bend there, don't you? But even knowing every bend, you could still have a bad accident, yeah.
What do you think of the accidents? Do you think TT gets
better? Yes, I do. I think that to have so many people on the island and the actual games that they do, the actual races that they do, it's understandable, really. You know, I mean, all these other meetings, they're only for one day and it's just round a track and that's it, really. But the other accidents of people falling from the clock and all that, I think that they do that in England anyway. Boys come out of nightclubs, they climb clocks. You know, that was a definite accident. It was nothing to do with the TT races. But the other road, I think that is just happens, and I don't have nothing against. I know it sounds terrible, but it's just happened, and that's it, you know. You come over here, you have to take extra care. You know, they really have to be extra careful, and if they're not extra careful, that's what happens. Or sometimes you can be tired. It's not necessarily their fault. It could be somebody coming the other way. They're tired, they've had a long night, they're not watching where they're going, and bingo.
Yeah,
so you either don't go out in your car TT week, or you do really a slight risk, and there's a slight risk there for everybody TT, because there's so many bikes, but you can't stop all them bikes coming. All you can do is keep warning them, keep reminding them that they've got to be extra careful, that's all, you know.
So apart from safety, would you change anything about the TT festival to make it better?
Yes, I would. I'd market it more, because there's only one place in the whole world that does road racing like they do over here, and it's just not marketed enough. It really isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, we get thousands over. They just come over anyway. They love it. They're falling in love with it, and that's it. But really, not too many people really know about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it should be marketed. If it was me, I'd go to America if I were the Tories board and have a look and see how they, or somebody from that walk that can actually show them how to market, because I think they're the best in the world at really pushing something. They're not good at making it and starting things, but when they actually get hold of something, they can make it bigger than anybody else.
Yeah.
And you could have that 1-3 weeks where the whole island benefited,
yeah.
You know, not just caterers. Banks will benefit, obviously, because there have been rates of money. We're going to bank a lot of money. Everybody's going to benefit. Even businesses, they can make these big corporate companies, they fly people in, groups of businessmen in, for 2 weeks to watch the TT races. Not make it just a commoner thing, as you call it. Make it into a thing that anybody can come to, children, everybody, families, and I think they could. You see, have we got the accommodation to accommodate all these people? Do we need to market? Can we market it any better? I mean, we only have 1 to 2 ships normally. You know, to bring all, is it going to be extra money? Is it going to be worth the while? That's the problem, really. But they could market it a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, really good. I mean, I've seen all these advertisements on the TV for coming to the Isle of Man. But the most important thing, and the only thing that's ever been anything on here, is never advertised before it's on. It's for going back in time. Nobody's coming for going back in time, but people are still coming for TT Week, no matter what. So if you've got one thing there, which I don't know whether their eyes are closed or what, but if you've got that one thing that they're all coming back for, why is nobody marketing it? They could make that into a month and grab something out of that. You know, no matter what's happened, the hotels have closed down, the boats are expensive, but they're still coming to the Isle of Man for them 2 to 3 weeks. So why is nobody really, really taking up on it, you know? They could have it for a month, they could have things selling, games, they could do everything with it. They could bring lots more over than they do and really market it properly.
Yeah.
And we could all accommodate them, I'm sure we could. And they could make more money out of that month for the rest of the year than they could ever. They don't need holiday makers in the summer if they really marketed TT Week for a full month. Because they're coming for 2 to 3 weeks anyway, so they might as well make it into 4 weeks and really get that one month to.
Yeah.
So everybody on the island would be wealthy. The families, they could all take people in. I think that's, but they still have to do other things as well. The campsites are not very good for them. £8 a night to sleep in a tent up by the grandstand. I don't mean per tent, I'm talking about per they could do that properly, give them proper. I know they've got a little shelving, but I think that campsite needs attending to. Every caterer that's done that campsite has either lost money or broke even. Nobody's ever made, they say they're going to have 500 breakfast, 500 dinners. Nobody's ever seen that. I've done it. Three other people I know, they've done it, and nobody's ever made anything out of it. Now, that needs definitely attending to. It's a disgrace. I know Magic Holiday had it for one time. They were all protesting then. And yet people still come back and go to that. So don't you think they deserve a better deal on that campsite thing? They really do. And people still come into the island, and they still put up with these things, but they're all complaints. Remember, they had the banners out a few years ago about it. It was up there. They had the banners out, the bikers, they were really upset about the accommodation, wasn't
they? What were they saying?
£8 a night for one bunk. It was raining.
And the toilets were really bad.
Really bad and everything. I mean, they've got clean. Yeah, but the toilets seem to be all right to me. They had one lot of toilets. Did they have showers? I think they had one shower. Anyway, I thought it was disgusting for £8 a night to go in a tent and share it with somebody.
£8 a night per person?
Per person, not per tent, per person.
Oh, that's a good one.
And you're talking about old army tents. You're not talking about these new tents. You're talking about, and I mean, if they were going to have a month of it, they could really set that up properly. The tents would pay for themselves. They bring a marquee company from across, because I know the gentleman that brings it over every year is a really good friend of mine. They bring this company from Liverpool to set this thing up. Now, I think this could be set up within the island with the people, a group of a big committee for the TT. I know they have one somewhere, but I mean, I'm talking about accommodation committee. It's all right. I don't think the tourist board can cope with the accommodation, and I don't think they actually see further enough to be actually, I'm in it with people that are coming in here with mud and dirt on the boots and they're soaking wet. And I've actually worked one of the campsites, just the food it was one year. And so I know what they're feeling, these people. And I know, it's, all I'm saying is that it could be done within here. They pay thousands for these people to come over the marquee in these bloody old army tents. Yeah. I mean, how many tents have we got over here? Even the islands, they contribute, they put their own good tents in, wouldn't they? Give the money to the people on the island, never mind sending to Liverpool for these old army tents for people to complain about and sit and pay £8. I'm sure that they could say, right, we want 300 tents for TT Week, and what do I bet you, that everybody would be taking them tents up there and they'd rent the little tent out and maybe get £2 or £3 for it. They're not bothered. And then they could rent these beds for £4 instead of £8, yeah. You know, to, I mean, give people what, you know, what they pay for. That's, that, I think that's disgusting. £8 for a bunk. One bunk in one tent.
Would you ever have anyone staying at yours?
Yeah, definitely by the room, really. Yeah, definitely, because they're no trouble. They're out most of the time anyway, aren't they? Yeah, because they're all right. They come over to see the races. They're out most of the time. They only really want somewhere to sleep and have a shower or a bath, yeah. You know, somewhere warm. But everybody I know, all the girls at the steam packet, they take people. All my friends take... I haven't got a house. I have only an apartment upstairs. That all my friends, they take people in TT. Yeah. Some of them even let the house go and they go off on holiday. Let, yeah, because it's profitable for them as well, you see. Yeah. And that's it, really.
Do you know anyone who doesn't like TT on the island?
A few of the elderly ones, that are the, mainly the millionaire people that come and live here, they're trying to get off to the island for TT. Which is fair enough. It's only 1 week of the year, and if they don't like it, let them go away. They're away most part of the year anyway, out of shopping and doing whatever they do. But most of the, you know, wealthy people, not, I'm not saying all of them, some of them indulge in it and go watch a race and bring friends over to watch it. Don't get me wrong, because I know bankers. My friend, her husband's a banker, and he brings groups of people over from Jersey to see the TT races. This is what I mean by it's not just young boys, it's indulged by quite a...